Amen. Galatians 5 and 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Verse 22, "But the fruit," somebody say fruit, "of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness." Somebody say faith. Somebody say meekness. One more time, meekness. Say temperance. "Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Amen. I'm going to finish up tonight the series, Always in Season. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. I do want to make it, before I get going, that this Sunday morning is RT Kids. It is also our back-to-school prayer covering service. So we will start the service off with praying for our kids. So if you want Pastor, the ministry team, to pray over your children, young people, high school, hyphen, etc., be here right at 10 o'clock because we're going to start the service off then. Amen. Paul writes to Galatians. He writes to the folks in Galatia. Galatia is a region or a part of modern-day Turkey. At this time, was Asia Minor. And he writes to them, and he's sharing with them about the fruit of the Spirit. He writes, and he's telling them that we're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He's referencing that in Galatians 3 and 26. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." And Paul, you need to read the book of Acts, Acts 13 and Acts 14, along with Acts 16 and Acts 18, to understand the totality of what's taking place in the book of Galatians. But Paul's writing to them, and he's making it very clear that we are the children of God, and since we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, there ought to be a transformation that takes place because we are filled with God's Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit are nine attributes, characteristics. It's a spontaneous work of the Holy Ghost that is in us. And these should always be in season. It shouldn't be like, well, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you either have it or you don't. And if you have it, there needs to be a change that begins to take place in you. And it's a transformation. It happens. The Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's what begins to take place when we get the Holy Ghost. And so, hopefully you've been reading the book of Galatians, but John 14 and 26 says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." And so the Holy Ghost is going to lead and to guide us and to teach us. So these nine attributes, these nine characteristics are clearly indicative, or they need to be, of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And they work in harmony. It's something that works in harmony with us, and it's the productivity of these characteristics that show the character of a Christian. We're either a Christian or we're not. Well, you either are a Christian or you're not a Christian. And there's no gray area. And so, many times we get comfortable, with our walk with God. And perhaps maybe you've reached a point in your life with your walk with God where you're not seeing some of the things taking place in your life like you did when you were a new convert. Well, you need to reevaluate the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. Yeah. You can grow if you want to. Well, in fact, I think it's Brother Drozik that makes the statement. I'm going to borrow it, or I'm going to steal it, because I'm not going to give it back to him. But he says, you can change if you want to, but you have to change. And so you can be on fire for God if you want to. You can be a person of faith if you want to. And so I started talking about faith, and I'm going to finish faith today. But the Scripture says in Romans 6:14 that sin does not have dominion on us. And Romans 6 and 20, verse 20, I want to read actually verses 20 through 22 says, "For when ye were the servants of sin," notice you were servants of sin, "now you are the ministers of the gospel." You were a slave to sin, but now you're called the children of God, sons and daughters. "Ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things when you were in sin?" You were producing fruit when you were in sin. Some of you are still carrying the baggage of that fruit. You got the scars, you got the tattoos, you got the credit, you got the relationships to prove about sin. Well,
amen.
But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have the fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. So a faithful Christian, or a Christian that is bearing fruit, has faith. And so when we look at the word faith, it is meaning fidelity. It is meaning faithfulness. When you begin to break that down, what that means is you're faithful. Your strict observance of promise or duties. You're loyal. You're accurate. You're dependable. You're devoted. It means that you can be relied on. And so, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, is anybody a follower of Jesus?
Amen.
Then we need to be faithful. That's what that means. When it says faith, it means fidelity. It means faithfulness. Our character as a Christian ought to be one of faithfulness. And the scripture says in Lamentations 3 and 23, he's talking about his mercy, but he says, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So our Heavenly Father isn't just faithful. His faithfulness is great. Remember what Paul writes in Ephesians, unto him that is able to do exceeding. He's exceeding grateful. One of the greatest lessons, listen to Pastor, one of the greatest lessons, or one of the biggest things that you can do, if you're taking notes, write this down, that you can teach your kids, ministries that you lead, non-believers, folks on your job, people that you come into contact with without even saying a word, one of the greatest things you can do for yourself is be faithful. Yeah. If you're faithful, everybody will see it. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3 says, but the Lord is faithful. So He's faithful. How many want to be like Jesus? Then we need to be faithful. God is faithful and we can depend on Him. Right? Let me ask you this question. Can others depend on you? Can God depend on you? Or are you kind of just here today, gone tomorrow, and you only come when there's a special speaker, you know, and you just, if it feels good, if all the stars align, you're going to be at church, you're going to go to work, you're going to come home after work, you're not going to spend your check at places you shouldn't be spending your check at. It's called faithfulness. Well, Pastor, I'm faithful. I'm always late. Yeah, you are. You're always late. Pastor, I'm faithful. I'm always grouchy. You're right. You're right. But is God ever late? Right? We want to be like Him. We need to be faithful. And it starts with me. Somebody say it starts with me. The more time we spend with the Lord, the more we need to be like Him or resemble Him. Notice this. Psalms 1 and 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. So where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit matters. Well, I'm just standing around. I'm just here with them. It matters. Why? You know, it just happened. I'm going to get to that later. But where you stand, where you walk, and where you sit matters. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth He meditate day and night. Notice this. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in His season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Because if you sow in faithfulness, you will reap in faithfulness. Because you reap what you sow. You can't plant tomatoes and expect jalapenos. You can't plant unfaithfulness and expect faithfulness to be part of your life. You cannot not pray and expect to have power.
Yeah. Come on now.
You can't expect to not go to, you shouldn't expect a paycheck if you're not working.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on, somebody. If you don't get anything out of tonight's Bible study, I want you to get this. You need to be faithful to God in all areas of your life. I know it's not popular and some of you feeling convicted, but it's meant to be convicted. It's a reason why Paul starts out with love, and when he gets to the end, that faith And the last one we're going to get to is temperance. That's why he starts out with what he did, because one builds upon the other. And if you don't love the Lord, you're not going to be faithful. If you don't love your wife and you're not in love with your wife or your husband, of course you're not going to be faithful. Well, because anytime somebody else buys you a coffee or bats their eyes at you, you're going to be like, oh, maybe I'm in love. No, you're in lust. You need to pray. You need to get an altar. Talk to the Lord. Because you don't leave what you love.
Amen.
Well, because love never fails.
Yeah.
Well, come on, somebody. Luke 6:31 says, And as ye would that men should do to you, do also unto them likewise. Luke 6:31 in the New Living Translation says, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. How many of you love the faithfulness of the Lord?
Amen.
Man, I wish every hand was, because the Lord sees this.
Yeah.
You know, when preaching goes out, it's proclaiming.
Amen.
You should be grabbing onto it.
Yeah.
Some of you miss out on some things because you sit there and you're like, well, and the Lord's saying, I'm trying to encourage you and edify you and tell you something. You've been asking for the Lord to bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and change you. When the word goes out, you grab onto it.
Yes.
Hearers and doers
yes.
of the word.
Amen.
Notice this. Faithfulness is when you sign up to bring something to the office potluck or back to school night. Faithfulness brings those items. Well, faithfulness is when a friend or a relative asks you to house sit for them while they're gone on vacation and they agree to pay you for it and to feed their dog. Faithfulness is you honor that and you do what you're going to get paid for.
Amen.
That's called faithfulness. Faithfulness honors the commitment. Faithfulness is that you honor your marriage vows. Everybody smile. Faithfulness is that you honor the platform leadership covenant. Somebody say amen. So faithfulness is you honor the employee handbook. Faithfulness is that you honor and you vow to live up to the word of God to the best of your ability.
Amen.
No matter how you feel, whether others are following or it looks like they're following or getting away or not getting away with it, faithfulness is dependable whether or not you get a better offer.
Yeah.
You ever meet somebody and they're like, oh yeah, I'll be there. And you're like, what happened?
Uh-oh.
Oh, you know. My grandma's brother, second cousin's dog's friend's neighbor came by and we had a barbecue. No, you were lazy. You didn't want to get out of bed to be here at Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You knew we had a Sunday night service.
Well, I preached that.
You weren't on the schedule Sunday morning, but you were on Sunday night. So you're like, I'm going to go Sunday night. Faithfulness would say, you know what? These covers are heavy. In Jesus' name, I'm pushing them off and I'm getting up. Matthew 5:37 says, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, or nay. Let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. It's okay to say no. Don't give people false hope and pretend. If you don't feel like, just say, you know what? I need to use somebody as an example. Brother Ronnie, don't be offended. Say, I don't want to, Brother Ronnie, because I don't feel like it. Because I'm lazy. I'd rather hang out with Nate.
Come on. Yeah, yeah. Keep it real.
Be honest.
Keep it real.
Don't lie.
Yeah.
Don't give no place for the devil.
Come on now.
Be faithful.
Yeah. Preach that.
Well.
That's good.
Anybody want to be blessed?
Amen.
How is your faithfulness?
Come on now.
Maybe you're not being blessed because you're not being faithful. Maybe you're a day late and a dollar short and you're like, well, what's the deal? What's the problem? You got to ask yourself, am I being faithful? You know why? Let me give you a scripture. If you're taking notes, write the scripture down. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. It doesn't say you'll just be blessed. It says abound with blessings. Man, I would memorize that scripture and I would practice exactly what it says. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Well, maybe you're not abounding with blessings because you're not being faithful. Do you stay at home from work every time you have a runny nose? But you cried and begged and told pastor to pray and you went and sought everybody in the church, say, help me find a job, and God blesses you with the job. And you've used up more sick time than you've even accumulated in 2 years in the first 2 weeks. You hadn't even got paid yet and you'd already called out 5 times. That's not faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness. Do you skip out on commitments? Are you unreliable? You want to be involved in ministries but complain are hard to get along with and call or cancel out more than you participate? That's not faithfulness. Let me share something with you. God will not bless you if you're not being faithful. He can't. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We spent a lot of time with that in the first part of the year, but I just want to throw that out there again as a reminder. You got to be faithfulness. You got to be faithful. Do you wonder why the boss doesn't give you extra hours? Maybe you're not being faithful. Maybe you tied God's hands. He says, well, you know, I can only trust you with 5 cents, but you got a $15,000 an hour mentality, but you work like 5 cents an hour. Well, are you signing a contract for a certain price and agreed upon it with the handshake and on the dotted line? And because you dropped the ball, you're finding a way to wiggle out of the contract? That's not faithfulness. Are you being faithful with raising your kids? With confidential information? Passcodes? With ministries that the church or pastors entrusted you with? Notice this, Luke 16:12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You want your own house, but you won't cut the lawn on the house that you're renting until the landlord drives by and says, what's the problem? You want your own truck, your own office, your own company, your own ministry. You want to preach to thousands. You want to stand behind my pulpit. You want a wife, a company credit card. You want what someone else has. Then take care of what God has given you and entrusted you with. And be faithful with it. God will never give you any more than what He can trust you with. And sometimes the biggest problem is with us as apostolic Pentecostals is we see and we want what somebody else has, but you don't know what it costs them to have what they have.
Amen. Amen.
It costs me a lot to be me. Oh yeah. Because I got my own problems. I got my own family. And then I got 150 to 175 other problems. Good problems. And families, phone calls. Think about that. You think the owner of your company's got it easy? No. Because it's his blood, sweat, and tears. The Lord was faithful when He went on the cross and died for our sins. That was a commitment. That was dependability on there. We can go to Him at any time and pray and ask Him for anything. Yes. He's dependable and He's faithful. Tomorrow morning, brand new mercy. Yes. Whether we deserve it or not, because He's faithful. Well, another scripture as I hurry. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. We need to have some spiritual integrity. If you don't know what that means, do a word study on integrity. Spiritual integrity. We need some spiritual integrity. All right, I'm going to skip a couple things. A fruitful Christian is meek. Meek is the opposite of an irritable disposition. Meekness is the opposite of being annoyed, upset, aggravated, agitated, an irritable personality, impatient. Being meek is the entire opposite of being angry. It's okay to get mad. It's okay if things aren't okay. It's okay to be angry. The scripture says be angry, but sin not. Notice this. You're gonna have problems. You are gonna get agitated. You are gonna get irritated at people in your own home. Well, you're gonna get mad and upset, and people are gonna irritate you. Guess what? It's called life. Get over it. Deal with it, and let the fruit of the Spirit work in you, and be meek.
Amen.
Be patient in suffering without a spirit of revenge. That's what meekness is. Some of the biggest problems we face in our lives is not the lack of sleep, or you forgot to take your medicine, or the preacher preached too long on Sunday, or it's too hot, or the person you live with, or the church, or your illness, or what you didn't do 20 years ago. The biggest problem that most of us have is us. It's ourselves. Yeah. Sometimes you do need a nap. Sometimes you do need a chill pill. Yeah. Sometimes it is too hot. Sometimes the preacher does preach too long. Sometimes you do run out of money before you get paid, and you get paid and you're already out of money, and sometimes you do have to use a credit card. But it's nobody's fault but your fault based on how you react to what's happening in your life.
Amen.
You choose your emotions and how you're going to react to certain things.
Come on, that's good.
I can slam my finger with a hammer and I'm not going to cuss. But some of you know some people that know some people. That happens and man, they'll blow the car off. You know, the car's gone. It's like, they crush it like a tin can. You don't need a new job. You don't need a vacation. You don't need more money. You don't need a change of scenery. You need to be meek. You don't have to get mad about everything. Get over yourself. Get over that's the work of the flesh. Revenge, being vindictive, sinning is the work of the flesh. Find an altar, put yourself on it so you can be altered. So you can be, I present my body a living sacrifice. I put myself on the altar, my flesh on the altar every single, I don't pray because I'm super holy. No. I pray because I need God's power. I need God's love. I need God's mercy to work things out of me. Yeah. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Someone that is meek, even though they are the most qualified or have a justifiable reason to say something, they choose not to because they're meek. Fruit of the Spirit is working in their life. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do is prefer someone else. Spirit of meekness. You know, a person with meekness doesn't publicly humiliate somebody even though they can. A person with meekness doesn't seek revenge even though they could. And it's justifiable. Revenge is retaliation for wrong. I'll give you an example. You didn't invite me to your party? No problem. I'll throw a bigger party and I won't invite you. And I'll invite everybody that you invited that went to your party. That's revenge. That's not meekness. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's called being a poor sport.
Yeah.
We finished that stuff in junior high, right?
Yeah, amen.
I sure hope so. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. No reason to retaliate. If you're in a position of trust on your job, you don't need to be retaliating about on people. Oh, I'm going to, you know, cut their hours. I'm going to make them pull weeds. Don't retaliate. God sees it all. They give you a bad time. Oh, I'm not going to approve their expense report. No, I'm going to go on vacation. Let them wait. No. Meekness is the opposite of anger. It's okay to be mad, to get angry. Just don't sin. Being mad and angry is a good motivator to clean the garage, lose weight, get a job, buy flowers, go to Starbucks. Or pray. Well, Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. Somebody shared with me this some time ago. Says, listen to this. An unknown tongue is a gift of the spirit, but controlling your tongue is the fruit of the spirit. Meekness forgives others when you want to crucify them. It's being meek. Meekness corrects with kindness and does it in a respectful manner. It's meekness. Meekness lives in a calm, peaceful, in a spirit of tranquility. I got a question for you. Do you come across to others as brash, headstrong, or are you allowing the grace of God to flow through you when you interact with others? Paul writes, Ephesians 4, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called with all lowliness and meekness. Point 3, last one. A fruitful Christian has temperance. Temperance is more commonly known as self-control, self-discipline, self-restraint, abstinence, or refraining. When you begin to break that down, if you actually read other renditions of the scripture, when you break down that word temperance, that's what it's going to say, is self-control. In other words, modesty, temperance, self-government, modesty, freedom from vanity, boastfulness, regard for decency of behavior, speech, or dress, simplicity, self-control, control or restraint of oneself's actions or feelings, behaviors. Remember, Paul writes in Galatians 5, I want to say right around verse 25, maybe it's 24, he says that we crucify the flesh with our desires. That means we put our flesh and we crucify it on there every day. Because your carnal man wants to be criminal and immoral Your fleshly man wants to do things that the flesh desires. But the fruit of the Spirit, the character of the Holy Ghost, the attributes of the Holy Ghost, wants to be self-controlled. Notice this. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another. Self-control literally is releasing our grip on the fleshly desires and obtaining the desires of God. Is there things that are fleshly that's controlling your lives? What is it? What is controlling your life? Is it the flesh or the Holy Ghost? Self-control, or is it the power that you have focused in the wrong direction? See, the Holy Ghost empowers you. The flesh enslaves you. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over us. We are not slaves to sin. A person with temperance can say no. You're able to say no because of the works of the Holy Ghost, because of the Spirit of God in you. You're able to say no because you love the Lord. Remember, it started out with love. You're able to say no to some things because you love the Lord. You're able to have self-control because you're in love with the Lord and you want to be faithful. You have self-control. Notice this. A person with temperance can say no to sin, no to the flesh, no to stealing, no to adultery, no to lust, no to unrighteousness, no to unholy lifestyles. That's what that means. And you could say yes to holiness, yes to God, yes to submission, yes to convictions. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. We need self-control because the outside world and the spirit world are in fighting with one another. Yeah. Paul makes it very clear. Notice this. Powerful scripture, Romans 7 and 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. What he's saying is the things that you ought to be doing, you struggle with to do. But the things that are contrary to the Word of God are sinful. It's kind of like, well, I'll just kind of go with the flow. But the fruit of the Spirit will say, no, time out. No, I can't do it. Like a vulnerable city, we need defenses. We need walls. Walls keep things in and walls keep things out. Call it standards, call it convictions, call it walls, call it guardrails, call it an area of security, accountability, whatever. And in those ancient times, judges and leadership would stand at the gates and determine who went in and who went out. They would control what took place. We have the Holy Ghost in us. The Holy Ghost, who can, if we're filled with it and we're staying filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be able to discern some things. You won't have to call pastor or the leadership or Sister Panero and say, well, is it okay to buy this? Because, you know, hey, if it's unholy, then don't buy it. Well, you know, I went to get my nails done and they did this. Hey, then tell them I need a refund. Take it off right now. Oh, I'm going to wait, you know. No. Having self-control. Just because your neighbor bought a brand new car, self-control, you don't go buy a car bigger than them that you can't afford that's going to get repossessed and you got to get a third job to pay for. Have some self-control.
Yeah, amen.
Well, notice this. The Word of God is a lamp, a light, and our instruction. The Word of God is sharp. It discerns things. It convicts. It edifies. It challenges. It helps. It rebukes. And it encourages. We hear it all, but do we follow it all? Oh, I know, Pastor, I know. Okay, we know, but are we following it? Well, I thought you said, Pastor, it's kind of a work in progress. It is. But at some point in time, you got to get in the batter's box and swing the bat. You can't stay in the dugout. You can't just stay on what is that? And on deck. You got to move up. You got to play ball. Got to get in there. Are we Christians? Are we filled with the Holy Ghost? And play ball. Let's get in there. Let's get to heaven. Notice this. This should always be in season. If you have temperance, that means you have self-control. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. I'm almost done. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So let me break it down to you. If he or she's not filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, the answer to any question they're going to ask besides, can I go to your church, is no. Let me break it down again. If he or she's not filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in Jesus' name, then the answer to any question he or she may have besides, can I have a Bible study, is no. If he or she's filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, talking about self-control, then are they faithful? Are they submitted to God and to their pastor? Do they have a job? Can they take care? Does their job allow them to take care of themselves? Like pay their own rent, cell phone, food, and car? Are they a worshiper? Do they pray? Then the answer is yes. If they can answer yes to all those, then the next answer, if they ask you something, is maybe. Let me pray about it. Why don't we fast about it for a month? And then let me talk to some leaders in my life and we'll see if it's okay if you can, we can go out. Talking about self-control. But just because they bat their eyes at you and buy you a cup of coffee and send you flowers, let's not be ignorant of the devil's devices. He's sneaky. He's pretty good at being the devil. Yeah. Self-control. If you're prayed up, you'll be able to identify if what kind of person you're dealing with. Well, temperance means you can say no to promotions, overtime, relocating, friendships, if it's not the will of God, if it's going to keep you out of church, if it's going to hinder your walk with God. Proverbs 16 and 32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. It's little s there. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city, as the musicians come. That's the New Living Translation of Proverbs 16:32. Temperance means that you could say no to sin and temptation. The Apostle Paul compared life to a race. He said, we all run, we all obtain a prize. We're all going to obtain a prize, which is our heavenly throne, our mansion. But notice this. Temperance means is that you don't have the grass is greener syndrome.
Come on.
But you grow where you're planted. You have some self-control. See, it takes a lot to control your tongue. James 1:26 says, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and that man's religion is in vain. That's powerful. You notice there's some things, self-control. Sometimes you just have to run from some things. Remember, Joseph ran from an adultery, a fornicative lady, or a lady who wanted to commit adultery. He ran. Sometimes we stand around and we kind of dabble with it and say, well, run from it. Resist the devil. Flee fornication. Flee from a stranger. Flee idolatry. 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. An idol is something you adore, you're devoted to. Something that comes between you and God. You can have self-control in that area of your life. Flee all kinds of evils. Notice this. 1 Timothy 6:6-10. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Some folks walk around like they're taking everything they've accumulated with them when they die. Have some self-control. A person with temperance in 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. He was talking about fleeing sinful things. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul writes to Timothy, flee also from youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. There it is again. Faithfulness, love, and peace. Youthful lusts, carnal pleasures, covetousness, power, unrestrained and unholy ambition. As we stand tonight, growth requires pruning. What do you need to prune out of your life or your walk with God? Who do you need to prune? I challenge you. Between now and Sunday, reevaluate your level of holiness, your prayer life, your faithfulness, and prune out anything that is a stumbling block or hindrance to that, any of those categories. Prune it out. Get rid of it. Pruning is not bad. Pruning allows there to be growth. We want to grow. We all should be wanting to grow. Pruning's not bad. You got some things you need to throw away? Some clothes, some songs, some books? Throw it away. You got some schedules you need to readjust? You got some people that are weighing you down? Hey, block them. You can block people on social media. They won't know. You can block them on their phone, on your phone. Let it go right to voicemail. Well, that's mean. No, you want to get to heaven? Laying aside every sin and the weights. If it's weighing you down, it's a weight. And if it's weighing you down now, it's going to weigh you down when the Lord blows the, when the angel blows the trumpet. Come on, somebody. Always in season. If we're honest about ourselves and respond, He is faithful and just. Matthew 26 and 41 says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. This spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." I know it, you know it, the flesh is weak. It's a struggle and a battle every single day. But this fruit ought to always be in season. Sister Ellen blesses us in song. Would we find a place to pray tonight? Would we talk to the Lord? Would you come to the altar? Would you put yourselves on the altar and say, "Lord, would you alter me? Would you help me to be more meek, more faithful? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to just pray about it, God, but I'm making a covenant, a commitment, oh God.
Spirit, break out.
Help me to be more faithful. I'm going to be more faithful, more meek, more self-control, more restraint. Help me, Jesus.
Come down.
Oh, God. Come on, RT, it's early. It's still early.
Spirit,
I finished about 10 minutes
out.
Earlier than normal. So we can have some time to pray and talk to the Lord tonight. Let's be real.
Break
Jesus.
Our walls down.
Jesus. Ha da 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 do 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 sa. Help me tonight.
Spirit, break
Help us
out.
As a church, God, to prune some things in our lives.
Heaven
Help me to prune it,
God.
I love my brother. I love my sister, God. But right now
Spirit
it's about me.
Break
out. I gotta prune some things.
Break
I'm talking about me, God.
Down.
I gotta get to heaven.
Spirit, break out.
Pastor's gonna give an account about me to you, oh God, when we get to heaven, Lord.
Heaven, come down.
My boss is not gonna be giving an account. My neighbor, my wife, my father, my bank
Spirit,
account.
Spirit, break out.
My good works. But you're going to judge me according to the Word of God.
Break
Help me to be more faithful.
Down.
More meek. More temperate. More self-controlled.